Amen. Well, being a disciple of Jesus Christ involves some risk. As we open to our passage of our study this morning in Luke, we find the Lord's disciples were in great danger. For one thing, they were surrounded by immense crowds of people whose major concern was not to hear spiritual truth, but to see Jesus do a miracle or to meet some personal need. At the same time, the scribes and the Pharisees were plotting against Jesus and trying to get him out of the way. Now, the question we want to address and we want to ask this morning is, do you know how to survive in a hostile world? Now, as I have you turn to the last verse of Luke 11, let me set the stage for our study this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ was some 6 months away from presenting himself as the Messiah to Israel, facing its rejection and finally offering himself up as the final sacrificial lamb on the cross of Calvary for Israel's sins and the sins of this world. As the countdown became more apparent, so did the opposition from the Jewish religious leaders. When he cast out a demon from a Jewish victim, the Pharisees sought to accuse Jesus of using the power of Satan to accomplish that healing. When he was invited to lunch by a Pharisee, as we saw in last week's passage, our Lord was tested about his theological view of his ceremonial cleansing when he refused to go through that washing of his hands. And he did that, of course, on purpose to bring forth his point that he wanted to teach them. But as the tension in this religious community mounted, the Lord took the disciples aside, as we come to today's passage, and began to warn them about the difficulty and hostility that would come upon any who consider themselves a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, in that context, our Lord began to review for his disciples 5 types of situations that they would face. With each one, he gave words of warning as well as encouragement to his disciples in the hope that they would remain faithful to him, even to the point of possible physical death. How can we survive in a hostile world? Well, number one that we will find in our point of how we can survive in a hostile world would be aware of hypocrisy. And so with the final verse of Luke chapter 11, verse 53, and then reading into the first verse of 12, it reads this way. As he went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Now, this would not be the only time that the snare of popularity and the fear of man would threaten to ruin the disciples of Jesus Christ. The world today is hostile against anyone who dares to distinguish themselves as a follower, as a disciple of Jesus. When we're out in the world, the temptation is to hide the fact that we're believers, unless it becomes absolutely necessary. But our passage today is a warning. Don't do that. So our first warning is to be aware of hypocrisy. The word hypocrite comes from the Greek word. It means an actor, one who plays the part. There are hypocrites in every walk of life. People who try to impress others in order to hide their real self. In the Christian life, a hypocrite is somebody who tries to appear more spiritual than he or she really is. And people know that they are pretending, And they hope they will not be found out. Their Christian life is only a shallow masquerade. It's easy to see why Jesus gave this warning at this particular time. Opposition to Jesus was seeking to catch him in some slip of the tongue. They wanted to see if he would incriminate himself. This was taking place when so many thousands of the multitude had gathered together that they were stepping on one another. As the crowds were pressing in, the Pharisees were stirring up the hearts against Christ. The disciples would have been tempted to say to themselves, you know, it might be better if our faith in Jesus as Messiah became a private affair rather than being so public. We could literally get killed for being publicly identified with Jesus. Jesus certainly detected their fear. And he began saying to them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Leaven is a small piece of fermenting dough put aside for producing fermentation in a fresh batch of dough. The law would not allow leaven or yeast, as we know it today, to be placed in any bread that was to be offered to the Lord. For it was a symbol of evil and the energy of sin. The leaven of hypocrisy, which threatened to spread among Christ's disciples, may have been a temptation for the disciples to try and avoid trouble, so that they might have thought about trying to minimize their looking like a follower of Jesus. But remember, Luke makes a point in telling us that the crowds were starting to come around Jesus. The leaven might also have been to try to gain popularity by pleasing these crowds. All of us want people to like us. And it seems such an easy thing to act the part that we want others to see. Our present age is filled with churches and Christian ministries that have set aside the Word of God, Scripture, and replaced it with the teaching of men in order to gain popularity and a large following. Sermons that may at least only touch on a verse or two from the Bible are primarily devoted to feel good, make yourself a better person teaching. It looks as if they're getting away with this hypocrisy. Crowds do come. But Jesus warned his disciples in his day, and it remains a warning to us in our present day, that night will become as day. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Read with me now verses 2 and 3 of chapter 12. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. The Pharisees had developed a lifestyle of hypocrisy, hiding their real values behind a variety of religious masks that amounted to a life of insincerity, dishonesty, and deception. Not realizing that in the end, they would be unmasked. So the Lord was warning his disciples in light of the hypocrisy of the Pharisee, if you think that in the sight of God you can cover up the reality of your hearts, you're greatly mistaken. For either in this lifetime or in the life to come, all must face the righteous judge in the final judgment, and his name is Jesus. How can we keep hypocrisy away from our lives? Number one, we must understand what hypocrisy really is. It's like yeast. Both yeast and hypocrisy begin very small, but they grow quickly and quietly. As hypocrisy grows, it infects the whole person. Hypocrisy does to the ego what yeast does to bread dough. It puffs it up. soon pride takes over and the person's character deteriorates rapidly. If we want to keep hypocrisy out of our lives, we must avoid that first bit of leaven. Once we start to pretend, the process goes on quickly. And the longer we wait, the worse it gets. Number two, realize that there are no secrets in God's sight. And there are really no secrets on earth. So the sins that are not dealt with here on earth will be dealt with in heaven before the one and only righteous judge, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus' warning to his disciples was, don't be fooled by the hypocritical Pharisees, and don't fool yourselves. Judgment will be rendered. Jesus was not only showing the disciples the ultimate outcome for the hypocritical Pharisees, but he was also saying to them, make sure that's not you. Hypocrisy is foolish and futile because nothing can really be hidden. Any disciple back then or today might be tempted to cover up or compromise some truth, minimizing it before our friends and neighbors who are unbelievers, so that the unbelievers would not be offended. But God's truth is like light, and it must not be hidden. The lies of the hypocrite will one day be revealed. So why go on pretending? Allow God's light to shine through you. How can we survive in a hostile world? Beware of hypocrisy. And number two, beware of the power of God. Verses 4 and 5 now. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him whom, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Now, Jesus wanted to encourage his disciples that their enemies were powerless against the spirit of a man. The most they can do is kill the body and give it what the world would call an untimely death. In light of the forthcoming persecution, and I think Jesus had Judas in mind, and all who would be tempted to follow in his footsteps, he continued, but I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast you in hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. In contrast to the crowds of Jews who had a great fear for the power and the position of the Pharisees, the Lord was telling his disciples that the only one they should fear is the Father. For it was his Father who created hell for Satan and his angels. And if one wanted to follow Satan and his disciples, the Pharisees, then the disciples were to know that God would cast them all into hell forever. So the primary thought for us to keep in mind is the knowledge of an awesome and powerful God. The fear of our Lord spoken of here in this passage is an attitude that we should have toward our heavenly Abba that recognizes his greatness, righteousness, and justice. It is fear in the sense of respect, reverence, humility, when we come into the presence of the revealed God. The respect and awe of our heavenly Abba should not amount to an alarm, but it should be combined with a trusting heart. For our majestic and holy God is also our loving and caring Father. And that leads us to the next point. How can we survive in a hostile world? Number one, be aware of hypocrisy. Number two, be aware of the power of God. And number three, be aware of feeling forgotten. verses 6 and 7 here. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone in the marketplace was familiar with the selling and the consumption of sparrows as a delicacy in the time of our Lord. And today it is so in many of the third world countries. The Lord used this very familiar illustration to quench the fear within the disciples' hearts that once Jesus left them and persecution would begin, that they would be forgotten as quickly as 5 sparrows eaten at one meal. So the Lord assured them that not even the most insignificant of God's creatures lies outside the sphere of His loving care. They would never be forgotten. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are of more value than many sparrows. In times of peace or in times of persecution, keep in mind that you are in the hands of a loving and caring Heavenly Father who will never forsake you. He will never forget you. For He knows, and if He knows every sparrow that has ever been sold and eaten, and if He knows each and every hair on your head at any given time here on this earth, then believe me, you are of more value than 5 sparrows. That's how much He cares. He's not only willing to go great lengths to save us for all eternity, but He is the only one who understands who we are and that we live in a hostile world that's getting increasingly more hostile against us, is it not? And He will care for us day by day until we are all gathered together with Him in eternity. How can we survive in a hostile world? Beware of hypocrisy. Beware of the power of God. Beware of feeling forgotten. And number 4, beware of denying Jesus as Christ. Verses 8 through 10 here. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. We need to confess Christ openly. We need to stand up firm as disciples. Once we have done this, we will have a lot easier time living on this earth avoiding hypocrisy. How can we fear men when we know Jesus Christ is confessing us before the Father in heaven? It's not important that men praise our names on earth, but it is important that God acknowledges us in heaven. When our Lord speaks of confessing, He means that when a man or woman agrees with God the Father that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, when we acknowledge that before men, then the Lord Himself will agree with God the Father and acknowledge that we are children of God before the angels in eternity. Now, what does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit here in this passage? So many times people will look at this verse and they'll pull it out of the context without examining it within the framework of these verses that we have been studying here. You can't do that with Scripture. You've got to take it in its context. And maybe this verse has perplexed you at times. If somebody comes up to you and says, hey, what is the sin that cannot be forgiven? Looking at it in this context, let me tell you what it means. To blaspheme the Spirit is not just to speak a word against Him, but rather the continuous and deliberate hardening of one's heart against Him when He seeks to show us that Jesus is the Christ of God, the Savior of the world. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is to resist the work of the Holy Spirit drawing us to Christ. That is the unforgivable sin. These Pharisees, in spite of all the evidence to the contrary, were rejecting the work and the person of the Holy Spirit through the Lord Jesus Christ. Their hearts were becoming so hardened that they were not about to repent of their sinful ways. And if someone will not confess his sins before the one and only righteous judge, there can be no forgiveness. How can we survive in a hostile world? Beware of hypocrisy. Be aware of the power of God. Be aware that you are not forgotten. Beware of denying Jesus as the Christ. And number 5, beware of unnecessary anxiety. Verses 11 and 12. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. You've often heard me quote from someone I've identified as a favorite author of mine, John Ortberg. Here's another one of his wonderful stories. Many years ago, I was walking in Newport Beach, a beach in Southern California, with two friends. Two of us were on staff together at a church, and one was an elder at the same church. We walked past a bar where a fight had been going on inside. The fight had spilled out into the street, just like an old Western. Several guys were beating up on another guy, and he was bleeding from the forehead. We knew we had to do something. So we went over to break up the fight. I don't think we were very intimidating. All we did was walk over and say, "Hey, you guys, cut it out." It didn't do much good. Then, all of a sudden, they looked at us with fear in their eyes. The guys who had been beaten up, the one guy, stopped and started to slink away. I didn't know why. Until we turned and looked behind us. Out of the bar had come the biggest man I think I've ever seen. He was something like 6 feet, 7 inches, maybe 300 pounds. Maybe 2% body fat. Just huge. We called him Bubba, not to his face, but afterwards when we talked about him. Bubba didn't say a word. He just stood there and flexed. You could tell he was hoping they would just try and have a go at him. All of a sudden, my attitude was transformed, and I said to these guys, "You better not let us catch you coming around here again." I was a different person because I had a great big Bubba. I was ready to resolve with and be firm. I was released from my anxiety and fear. I was filled with boldness and confidence. I was ready to help somebody that needed helping. I was ready to serve where serving was required. Why? Because I had a great big Bubba. I was convinced that I was not alone. I was safe. If I were convinced that Bubba were with me 24 hours a day, I'd have a fundamentally different approach to my life. If I knew Bubba was behind me all day long, you wouldn't want to mess with me. But he's not. I can't count on Bubba. Again and again, the writers of Scripture pose this question for us. How big is your God? Again and again, we're reminded that one who is greater than Bubba has come. And you don't have to wonder whether or not he'll show up. He's always there. You don't have to be afraid. He will even give you the words to say when you're called upon to testify on His behalf. You don't have to live your life in hiding in an increasingly hostile world. You have a great big God, and He's called you to do something. Be a disciple of Jesus and make disciples of Jesus. Disciple, stand up for Jesus in a hostile world. Let's pray.